Good morning, everyone. You'll notice there's a recurring theme as we've studied through the book of Titus. It's called goodness. And it's being good, doing good things for others again and again. This do-gooder isn't the person who thinks that they're better than others, who doesn't need God's forgiveness for their own sins from salvation. Such a foolish person thinks they are good without God. There is none that is good without God. There's none righteous, no, not one. And therefore we need the salvation of our Lord Jesus Christ. The grace and love of God's salvation working in our hearts does manifest itself in kind deeds, useful works, necessary helps, and encouraging words that point others to have faith in God. So kind words, useful works, necessary helps, encouraging words that help point others to have faith in God. That's good for the believer and the unbeliever. For someone to show us kind deeds, do useful works for us, give us necessary helps, and encouraging words that point us to have faith in God. Such grace-filled works are to be displayed to other believers first, as a priority there, Galatians 6:10, and then to the lost. We want to remember the theme of this book as we come to the concluding passages today. Look in Titus chapter 2 and verse 14, the heart of the book, I do believe, is this. Titus 2:14. Speaking of Jesus being our great God and our Savior. Titus 2:14. Who gave Himself for us, and where did He give Himself for us, by the way? On the cross. Who gave Himself for us, that's for our sins, that He might pay the price for our sins and set us free, that's what redeem means, that He might pay the ransom price for us from all iniquity, all the wickedness that rises up in our hearts, and all the sins that we have performed. He died for every one of them, to cleanse us from every one of them. And here's the power of the gospel. It saves us from all of our past sins, anything we've done today, and everything we do in the future. Now that's full salvation. All God's people say, amen. But He just didn't save us to set us free and to set down, standing on the promises while setting on the premises, somebody said. We need to be walking on these promises as a peculiar people. Look what the Lord says here in Titus 2:14 going on. He redeemed us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself. He wanted a people for Himself, for His own glory. A special or peculiar people, that's people of faith in God, and for this purpose to be zealous or impassioned for good works. So salvation will manifest itself in good works. It means to be passionate, to catch fire, to be zealous, to get stirred up. This, of course, is the gospel working through our lives, making us eager and energetic to some way express our worship to God. And this manifests itself particularly in relation to other believers. In contrast to the false teachers, they were not fit for good works. And the Bible says they weren't fit for good works because they weren't saved. Their works aren't fitting to God because they're depending on their works for their own salvation. But Isaiah 64:6 says, we are all as an unclean thing and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. And we do all fade as a leaf and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. What have they moved us away from? They moved us away from God. They didn't draw us to God. So we as sinners must come to Christ and receive His goodness for our salvation. In chapter 2, verse 7, we see here that in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, and doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, and sincerity. Here, in all respects, believers should be models of good works, especially Titus, especially the pastor, and especially the elder men in the church. Hebrews 13:15. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. This is on a regular basis. But to do good and communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. So we need to be grace-filled so that we will be fruitful in good works. Grace-filled so we be fruitful in good works. Look at our last verses in Titus chapter 3. Grace-filled and fruitful in good works is the title for today. And we're looking at verses 12 through 15. Titus 3, 12 through 15. When I sent Artemis unto you, or Tychicus, when I shall send them, be diligent to come unto me in Nicopolis, for I have determined there to winter. Bring Zenas the lawyer and Apollos on their journey diligently, that nothing be wanting unto them. And let ours also learn to maintain good works for necessary uses, that they be not unfruitful. I don't know of any believer who wants to be unfruitful to the Lord. They want to be fruitful. We're fruitful unto the Lord as we keep doing good works. Verse 15. All that are with me salute thee. Greet them that love us in the faith. That's the one true faith in Christ. Grace be with you all. It is true what I've written. Amen. Father, we ask that you take this passage today and transform our hearts and minds with it. We thank you that you use us for your glory. We thank you that you used Titus and Paul in their lifetime for your glory a couple thousand years ago, and we're talking about them today. Lord, help us to be sensitive to your Spirit when you impress upon us some good work, if we should carry it through. There's many things available to us to do, but we have to use discernment, to Lord, of what you want us to do. And so, Lord, give us that grace now, we pray, at Tabernacle Baptist Church, to seek thy face, dear Lord, and in all of our ways acknowledge you so you will direct our paths. Thank you, praise you, worship you, and adore you, Lord, for the work that you did for us on the cross in giving salvation to us as sinners. We're so thankful to the Lord that we've believed upon you. We don't have to earn your favor. We're not going to hell, we're going to heaven. If there's anyone here today who doesn't have that assurance, may they look to Christ on the cross for their salvation, adding nothing and subtracting nothing, just totally relying on the work of Jesus Christ. And now, Lord, take our hearts and transform them to do good works continually. Remind us this is what you want us to do so that we will be fruitful, bearing the fruit of the Spirit in our works and glorify in your name. And thank you for the grace, the enabling to do it. May we all take the grace today to do your will. In Jesus' name, amen. I heard of a lady recently who collected bottles, and the largest one was a jug of some type that would hold water, and the smallest was a perfume bottle. Some were found at an old railroad station, and some were found at an old stagecoach depot. Some even at her old farm property. Each piece seemed to have a story connected to it. I read recently 25 uses for old pill bottles. How many of you know I got a lot of time on my hands? Anybody know? I just happened to go across that. Coca-Cola bottles found, flower vases all made of glass. Some were broad and square, and others were tall and thin. Some were rounded on the bottom and curved up into a nice, tall, thin stem. Some seemed perfectly made, and others had unique flaws in them. The colors were varied from light to dark, brown, green, turquoise, blue, bluish green, pink, red, purple, yellow, teal, royal blue, orange, and even clear. The simplest test will determine whether or not a glass bottle is a genuine antique. Expose it to the direct sunlight, and over a period of several weeks, it will begin to change colors. That's because genuine antique glass, especially over 100 years ago, contained a high level of magnesium, a metallic chemical added to make the glass a little more transparent. The sun's rays cause a chemical reaction. A pale green glass, for instance, left in the sun will turn brilliant shades of purple. In Bible times, pottery was made of clay and some of glass, and vendors would bring their wares to the marketplace. They did come in under tents, if you will. Some dishonest vendors, knowing that a vase or a bowl had a crack in it by improper heating, would fill the cracks with wax and paint over them. And once something warm was placed in the bowl, the wax would melt and all the contents would spill out. Another way of telling if a vessel was genuine was to hold it up to the light. The sun would expose its true nature. If there were cracks, they could be seen. Honest vendors began to stamp their names. This is where that began. Began to stamp their names and add this seal on the bottom in Latin, sincera, which means without wax. What word do you think has formed in our English language out of that? It's the word sincere. The beautiful colors of the rainbow, for instance, are the very colors around the throne of God. We need to remember that while the thoughts of men were only evil continually, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Wicked men have tried to promote the most sickening acts of sin, choosing to dishonor God and rob God of His glory as creator of male and female by stealing the rainbow. The rainbow means God showed mercy to believing Noah, but judged the rest of men by destroying the entire race with the universal flood. The rainbow is God's creative reminder that He did, but will not destroy the earth with water ever again. Get on the boat of belief in God, or you will be damned, is the message of the ark. How do you know if you, as a vessel, are genuine or sincere? Hold yourself up to the light of God's Word to see if there is salvation through faith in Christ. You'll be a genuine vessel. And if you're not, you are a vessel fitted for destruction. In 2 Corinthians 4, 3 through 7, but if our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost, in whom the god of this world, that means the dark system of sin empowered by Satan, hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of the darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power might be of God and not of us. 1 Peter 1:23 tells us how you can be born again into the family of God, being born again not of corruptible seed or decaying words of other men, but of incorruptible by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. You need to believe the word of God concerning salvation in Christ. 1 Peter 2:1-3, as we grow in the knowledge of the Lord as saved people, wherefore, laying aside all malice and guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speaking, that's how the world operates, as newborn babes desire the sincere, milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Is the Lord gracious to you? Did he show grace to you at the cross? He did. And this means that we're supposed to show grace to others. When the light is shown through the believer, not on him, when the light is shown through the believer, not on him, you see the life of Jesus Christ coming through. God's holy nature, listen carefully to this, God's holy nature is displayed in the living colors of the rainbow and are the very colors emanating radiantly from the throne of His resplendent glory in heaven. Boy, I don't know who's working here today, but something's not kosher. I don't know where that's coming from, John. Do you have an idea? What's that? I'm on the pulpit mic now. Okay, I'm not on this mic. Okay, I'll just leave it up here. All right, let me read that again. Don't get sidetracked because of that. Probably the devil doesn't like this message. How many of you think? But the Lord loves it. God's holy nature is displayed in the living colors of the rainbow and are the very colors emanating radiantly from the throne of His resplendent glory in heaven. So folks, we can't abandon the rainbow, even though the world's tried to take it. We can't abandon it. We need to explain it. Remember Noah when you see it. Tell your kids that. Remember Noah. He found grace in the eyes of the Lord, but the rest of the world was destroyed because of their exceeding sinfulness. Their thoughts were only evil continually. And by the way, that's going to happen again, not by a flood, but by fire destroying the earth this time. If you read your Bible, you'll know that's a coming. There's going to be the rapture of the church. That's the next thing to take place. How many of you are ready to go? Anybody? I'm ready to go. Then there's going to be a 7-year tribulation period. There'll be a 1,000 millennial reign. Folks, there's going to be a new heaven and new earth. Things are going to be burned up. The things that we see now will not appear as they are. They'll be perfected. Anybody here looking for perfection today? I am, and the perfection's in Jesus Christ. So go to Titus chapter 2, if you will. Excuse me, chapter 3, and we're going to start in verse 12. I like these closing remarks because Paul is a very honest man. He's not sure what God's going to do. How many of you are not sure what God's going to do in your life right now? Who knows what's going to take place next, right? God does. And God is supposed to be trusted in our life. So the message today, regardless of what God's working in your life, trust God. Verse 12, when I shall send Artemis unto thee, or Tychicus. What's that mean? He hasn't made up his mind yet. Be diligent to come unto me in Nicopolis, for I have determined there to winter. And folks, Paul wasn't sure what God was going to do in these two men's life. Both were from pagan backgrounds, but they trusted Christ as their Savior. Paul didn't claim to be flawless or a dictatorial leader, a hard-nosed man. He was a loving person. And yes, he laid the truth of what God wanted out, but he always had love and grace with people. And he had to say some difficult things at times. Yes or no? That's true. And love does that. Love says difficult things at times. But though he didn't claim to be flawless or superior in his decision-making, what he thought God wanted him to do at any particular time, he was willing to do it. And that's very important. He would have to say to us at this writing, I don't know which one of these men are going to go to Crete and replace you, Titus. What? These guys brought this letter. He's reading it. Titus is reading it. And he's found out his assignment's over in Crete. And these guys are standing there. Very interesting. When a genuine believer is held up to the sun, we must admit we got our own cracks. We don't always know what God is doing. We must
admit at times that we don't know, and in our weakness, though we don't know, we have to determine to depend on Christ's strength, learning to lean on the Savior. Young people ask questions like this: which college to attend, what job to take, what career, what occupation, should I marry this guy, she says, should I marry that girl, what church to help build, should I buy a house or rent, how are we going to educate our children, what's the best time for me to read, study the Bible? You know, there's a lot of questions in life, folks. A lot of questions in life. I don't know yet which one of these men is going to, I'm going to recommend for this ministry, but he's letting Titus know, your assignment's over. Imagine reading that letter. Artemis, we see here in verse 12, or Tychicus. Artemis has believed to come to faith in Christ as an older youth. His name is a masculine derivative of the female, pagan female goddess of fertility, Artemis. His parents would have thought him to be a gift from that goddess. What a mess, huh? She doesn't even exist. So they named him that. Let us remember where children actually come from. Psalm 127, 3 through 5. Lo, or behold, children are a heritage, are an inheritance from the Lord. And the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of the mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate, or the place of commerce, or your job. They will speak of the Lord when they realize they have a gift to their parents from the Lord. Boy, children got to get it right, amen. Where'd you come from? You came from God. What did God do? God made you a male or a female. Glory in it. Tychicus, what about him? Tychicus was a Gentile who came to faith in Christ, whose name means fortunate. He delivered the letter to the Colossians and went with Paul on one of his missionary journeys. In Ephesians 6:21, he's called a beloved brother and a faithful minister. I love this guy, and he's always doing what needs to be done. That's what it means in the vernacular. I love this brother. He's always willing to do whatever needs to be done. And the message there is to keep loving people and see yourself as a minister to them. Everybody needs to see themselves as a lover of God and a minister of other to other people. That'll give you joy in your life. So Paul didn't always know what God was doing. He didn't know which one to choose for that ministry yet. To Titus, he said, choose grace-believing elders to lead, not work-based elders, which law-based works, which made you earn your salvation. Take them out of the leadership and put in those who believe the grace of the cross. That's what he had to do. He's a young fellow. Challenge every age group to have a goal of maturing in the likeness of Christ. Everybody's supposed to grow up into a full stature of Jesus Christ. And then he says here in verse 12, continue on, be diligent to come to me. Well, we were just getting the ball rolling here. Everything seemed to be going pretty well. 2-3 years into it, 4 years, okay, that's not, no. But now you're done, and I want to move you somewhere else. Wow. Paul wanted, as we find out a little investigation, he wanted to spend the winter in Nicopolis, and he wanted Titus to come there with him. Then he wanted to travel to Spain, which we don't see in this passage. Titus was going to be replaced by one of these other guys, and with a little investigation, we find out that it's Artemis. Artemis was eventually chosen to replace Titus, and Titus would be sent to Dalmatia, another difficult assignment, 2 Timothy 4:10 through 12. And Tychicus was sent to Ephesus to relieve Timothy of his assignment, and Timothy was going to be given another assignment. So we find out by way of application in these steps that God orders both our steps and our stops. My dad said to me when I was growing up, getting into high school, what have you, and he said, if you aren't planning on marrying the girl, then stop dating them after a short time. I thought it was good advice. Stop, go, grow, yes, no. Very practical, man. One day I said yes, and I'm still married to her. All God's people said, about time, buddy, okay. Paul never made it to Spain. Never made it to Spain. That's what he's planning on doing, Romans 15. He's going to take Timothy, and then we're going to go to Spain. Artemis did arrive at Crete, and Titus did go to Nicopolis. But Paul was arrested for preaching the gospel and taken to Rome in chains by way of application. We can make the best plans that we can, but when we leave, we have to leave them in the hands of God. As I've said many times here, God has a way of changing our plans. Amen? But we have to decide we're going to change with the Lord. We must trust the sovereignty of God to put us right where He wants us to be at any given time. Tony Snow, a believer who served as a press secretary under George W. Bush, battled cancer before passing away. And when he was asked what spiritual lessons he was learning from his fight with cancer, he replied with a smile, "We want to live lives of predictable ease, don't we? As believers, smooth, even trails as far as the eye can see down the road. But God likes to go off-road." It's true. There isn't a day of appointment for all of us to die, folks. And we're not going to change that date. We can change the quality of our living, exercise and diet and all this. But when it's our time, we're going. And we need to be ready to stand before the Lord. To be absent from our body as a believer is to be present with the Lord. Let God be God and work good out of everything that comes into our life. Now that's power. I'm going to work good out of everything I've allowed in your life. There are rough roads to travel at times, and we must remember Christ's road to the cross for us and let God lead our life every day. Psalm 37, 23 and 24. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and He delighteth in His way. Though he fall, and we do at times, don't we? Yes. He shall not be utterly cast down. Why? For the Lord upholdeth him with His hand. The Lord will raise you right back up. Proverbs 16:3. Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. I pray that one often. What do you want me to do, Lord? I give myself to you today to do your work. What do you want me to do particularly? I got a lot of the things in place that I need to do. It's just a matter of when to carry them out. When do you study, Pastor Long? All the time. I just put it there. All the time. All the time. It could be 2 in the morning. Get a couple hours in there sometimes. There's no use laying in the bed if I can't sleep. I'll just go right to my study. And I thank the Lord for some of those are the sweetest times of the night. Alone with the Lord in the night seasons. Too much work during the day. Too many calls, people to see, things to do. I'm just going to draw you away to myself. So hopefully you won't call me at 2 a.m. because I want to spend a little time. Amen. And some of you, the Lord's doing the same thing in your life. Why don't you just spend time with the Lord then when that happens? Don't waste the time. Invest it. And eventually you'll get tired and be able to go back to sleep. Amen. If you've experienced those things. What was this place of Nicopolis? It was a city founded by the first Roman emperor, Octavian, to celebrate his victory over Mark Antony and Cleopatra. It flourished on the southern side of Greece. So that's how the city was developed. Did you notice the spiritual quality amongst these men? This is something that needs to be reiterated today. It's called the spiritual quality of deference. I don't know. So if you don't know, I defer to you. And you know, folks, there's nothing wrong with saying that. I don't know. Should I stay in this job? Should I quit this job? Every now and then, young person, I don't know. All I know is wherever you are, it's an opportunity for you to shine the light of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ to people who don't know the Lord. What did you expect from the world anyway? I expect the world to be the world. So somewhere along the way, our faith is going to have to be tested. Titus, Artemis, Tychicus, and Timothy all followed Paul's advice to minister in certain locations and for a certain period of time to best advance the gospel. They all moved around. Here's an application. If younger men would listen to older men, older godly men, they would be more apt to walk in the wisdom of God. That's true. Look at verse 13. Bring Zenas the lawyer and Apollos on their journey diligently, and nothing be wanting unto them. These are the two guys who delivered this letter to Titus. He's reading it in their presence. Zenas the lawyer. This is the only mention of a lawyer, attorney at law. The other lawyers in the Bible Jesus mentioned are actually scribes. They copied down the Bible. This lawyer is an attorney at law, which means there's only one lawyer went to heaven and the rest of them went to hell. How many think that's what it means? No, that's not what it means. Any lawyer that believes on the Lord Jesus Christ goes to heaven just like anybody else. And those who don't, they don't go to heaven. No special category. But this is particularly a lawyer, attorney at law, the words used here. Zenas. That'd be a Greek name, so he's a Greek believer. And Apollos was well-known and gifted Bible orator and apologist for the first century. You remember in Corinth when the believers, the church got divided over four people and tried to break the church up and have a superiority, a self-esteem movement going on through men? Well, I'm of Paul. And Paul just shut that right down. Well, I'm of Apollos. Boy, the way he can talk, you know, and open up the scripture, everything, his oratory skills, I like him. Paul, Apollos. Who's the other one? Cephas, which is not the guy on Gunsmoke. That's a word for Paul. That's a word for Peter. How many know what we're talking about? How many of you don't care? No. And then there's another one. Then the really spiritual type said what? Well, we're following Jesus. We're actually, they're all following their own carnality. And Paul said, I have nothing to do with this. Each man has his proper gift. One plants, another waters. That's what men do. But God gives the increase. Let us remember that. Sometimes our most fruitful service will be enabling other men to serve. Sometimes our most fruitful service will be enabling other men to serve. And I thank God that we're enabling several of our men to serve out of our own congregation. And I'd like to see that increased, actually, if the Lord allows. And that, of course, is Hunter Conkle and Bruce Stewart. Paul asked Titus, listen to this, for immediate help. Verse 13, bring means to give the money and meet the particular need, that nothing be wanting unto them, which means give them exactly what the cost of this mission is. Give them the whole thing. Now, Titus might have said to the believers at Crete, I don't remember this being in our budget. We've done a few things that weren't in our budget before, too. And I just want to share one to the glory of God, some glorious thing that took place in this church a number of years ago. It was a move of God, no doubt about it. A move of God in our mix in years past was missionary Rickson Keeling, missionary to Pompeii, Micronesia, right back on our wall back there. Their house was invaded by ants and destroyed, and the wood frame fell on the floor. ants just came in and ate everything. Materials to build a new house were placed in a railroad-sized car and shipped overseas. It seemed like an impossible thing. It was going to take $80,000. $20,000 was given and $60,000 was to be raised. I couldn't sleep all night. Ain't this a move of God? Couldn't sleep all night. And the Lord impressed upon me, give $30,000. So, putting my neck on the line once again, I called the deacons to a meeting. And I said, fellas, this is what God has impressed upon my heart. Either I'm crazy or God wants us to do it. We all left and prayed about it. We came back in 2 weeks and said, the Lord wants us to do it. We told the congregation to be praying for it as well. The congregation voted, I believe it was unanimous, to send $30,000. We had a little caveat. We called the sending church, by the way, which was Rickson's wife's father, Northside Baptist Church, Charleston, South Carolina. I called him up and I said, we're willing to give $30,000 if your church matches it. That's a business part of me coming out. He said, I can't have it. I can't have anything to do with this. He gave it to the chairman of the deacons. He's choking and said, well, we'll pray about it. They took it to their congregation, folks. $80,000 was raised in 3 weeks. They built their house, and I got to tell you this, every soul, every person, influence for the life of Jesus Christ through that church, this body gets part of the reward and the eternal glory. And that's wonderful. Right now, John Stevens is at my father-in-law's church because the pastor there had an emotional breakdown, and they're seeking a pastor in Gray, Tennessee. They're really hurting. So I ask you all to pray for Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. John Stevens is filling in right now, the man I was just talking about. He said to me on the phone, whatever it was, 10 years ago now, Joel, I just didn't have the faith. I just didn't have the faith. I can't believe the glories of God. I said, yep. All had a tingly feeling spiritually in our hearts that God was pleased with such a sacrifice. Who's going to care for those giving themselves to the ministry? Who's going to pray for young men preparing for ministry? Who's going to support people to spread the gospel in other cultures? Who's going to meet the immediate need if the local church doesn't do it? I can tell you, it won't be met. But thank God for Tabernacle Baptist Church, gracious and giving spirit over the years. If you want to be a fruitful Christian, you have to be careful about being fruitful in good works. Four characteristics applied here before we go on our verse, out of verse 14. Four characteristic of sun-tested service. We should never serve in a place as though we'll be there forever. God could move us at any time and bring who he desires to this ministry as well. None of us is beyond needing the help of other believers. That's the second one. None of us is beyond needing the help of other believers. Third, we have to learn to be intentionally generous concerning the pressing needs of others. And fourth, none of us will be fruitful in good works without the goodness of God's grace. We won't do it apart from the grace of God. Look at verse 15. Excuse me, let me read verse 14 again. And let ours also, what's the next word? Learn. We're still learning. Learning what? To maintain good works for what? For necessary uses. Why? So that we will be fruitful Christians. Verse 15. All that are with me salute thee. Greet them that love us in the faith. Grace be with you all. Amen. All that are with me salute thee. Oh, a military term. That's right. Every now and then I'll jokingly around with the guys and I'll salute. I'm not a military man, but I love the military because I like freedom. I love America. I love God and I love our country. And I'm not ashamed to say it either. God bless the USA. So I thank the Lord. But we're not talking about armed personnel here. We're talking about a soldier of the cross he's saluting. When you salute someone, it means I honor you, I respect you as a fellow soldier. Here he means a soldier fighting for the souls of men through spreading the gospel. And whatever that costs you, I salute you if you're doing that. 2 Timothy 2, 1 through 3. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. The gospel is worth fighting for. It's life. In verse 15, all that are with me salute thee. We honor you, we respect you. Isn't that a wonderful thing to say to other believers? I honor you and I respect you for serving the Lord. Then he says, greet them that love us in the faith. Greeting, simply saying hello to people, that's a grace. When you see one another here, say hello to people. Shake hands with people. In their culture, they kiss one another on the cheek. I just prefer a handshake if you don't mind. When my wife kisses me on the cheek, it's all right. How many of you remember that guy, Ramon? Man, this guy worked for the gas companies. You know, I thought I was a pretty sizable guy maybe, but he's twice my size, broader and everything, and strong as an ox. Ramon Zamarripa. Don't ask me how to spell his last name. I told him, you know, I forget. He said to me in tears, Pastor Long, you're so kind to me. The people so kind to me while I was here. He picked me up, and I was having a hard time breathing. I'm not kidding. He picked me up on a bear hug, and he kissed me on both sides of my cheek. And he said, I love you, brother. Don't there any of you, rest of you, try that. I'll just tell you that right now. I couldn't talk. Overwhelmed with the grace of God. You know, folks, we just have a little window of service for some people. Let us be all in all for Christ when we have an opportunity to get to know other believers. Those that love us, he means in the faith, other believers that we have shared the love of God with. Salute them. Tell them I said hello. Grace, then he says, grace. Grace be with you all. Grace is God's enabling strength, his blessing, or favor given to those who desire to glorify his name. Has nothing to do with a new car. It's not to do with things. It's to do with a person. Things come and go, but the glory of God remaineth forever. Amen means these things are true. When I say all God's people say, amen, that means you're saying that's the truth. And folks, this is the truth of the Word of God. If we're going to be grace-filled people, we can plan on doing good works because grace-filled people are fruitful in good works. They don't work to be saved. They work to the glory of God. Because they are saved. And the difference is night and day. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we pray that this grace, your grace, to love and to serve and to grow and to be led by your Spirit, to know when to give, to know when to go, to know when to stop, to keep on growing. To keep our face toward you, that your glory, the resplendent glory, the beautiful colors around your throne, are seen in the character of Jesus Christ, your Son. And this Son, your Son, the only one, indwells our heart by faith. And the glorious gospel is to shine through us in good works. Oh God, help us all be fruitful for your glory. And all God's people say, Amen. That's the book of Titus. I hope you enjoyed it. Next week is going to be a review of the whole book. And I'm not sure what book to go to, just like the Apostle Paul. I'm not sure. I'm either thinking of going to the book of Ruth or the book of James. The book of James or the book of Ruth. Who would like to hear the book of James? And then I'm going to ask who would like to hear the book of Ruth. Just whatever you think, you know. You can help me. Now, I want you to raise your hand on one. And if you're not sure, me and Tom are going to be the only ones voting. If you would like, you want to bow your head, yes or no? Good idea, everyone bow your head. That way you can just, as you believe. If you'd like to hear the book of James, verse by verse, raise your hand for that one.